Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
And I want you to turn with me to one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Matthew, chapter number 14, Matthew 14, and reading from verse number 22, the Bible said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Hallelujah. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Praise God. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now remember that until that time, no human being had walked on the water as far as the scriptures are concerned. And then, apart from that too, we don't know of any disciple of Jesus or disciple of Moses or anybody had also walked on that water before. So the walking of Jesus on the water was a totally new thing. Hallelujah. It was a totally brand new something that has never happened before. And Peter also asking Jesus that, Jesus, is it you? He said, it is I. Then he said, Jesus, if it's really you that we are following, that you are walking on the water, then I also want to try. I also want to walk on the water. And Jesus said, okay, if your faith is that strong, then come. Are you listening to me? So Peter got himself ready. Of course, the disciples were looking at him. The disciples were looking at Peter. And I'm sure some of them will say that this guy is too know. This guy, what does he want to prove? What does he want to show? We are all here in this boat, doing what we know how to do best. You alone want to show that you are a very, very, very important disciple. Are you there? So I'm sure one of the disciples may have come to Peter and said, are you sure what you're about to do? Are you sure what you're about to do? Please watch out. I said, this guy came from heaven, we know. You, We know where your mother starts thinking. So, are you trying to do? Please, watch out. But when they were saying, you know, sometimes when you want to do something and people are talking to you, your eyes is focused on what you want to do. So, in the midst of all the criticism, I wasn't there, but I can just speculate. Because by all means, somebody will say something. By all means, somebody will have a different opinion about what Peter was about to do. And I'm sure somebody would have given Peter a name to know. Whatever. Thomas was there, Judas was there, Bartholomew was there, everybody, all the 12 were in the boat, comfortable. So he stepped out and landed on the water. And the water was solid under his feet. And started walking towards Jesus. So my people, it was a new day. And it was a new season for Peter's faith in God. Say amen. So I'm titling my message, Stepping Out into Your New Season. Stepping out. And this year, you have to leave the people in your boat and step out into something new. Say amen. The year is very young. And you have been in a boat for so many time of years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, together with some old people, old friends, old things, doing the same thing. And sometimes you have been in that state and it doesn't look as if you are going anywhere. You are very comfortable. You have a routine that you follow. Same pace, same venue, same area, same friends, same everything. And so nothing is particularly changing in your life. Say amen. Nothing is challenging you. Nothing is provoking your faith. There is no inspiration anywhere. It's a spirit of adikrament. Adikrona. Hallelujah. But this year is our year of supernatural occurrence. And so by faith, somebody listening to me should step out into something new. Something you have never done before. Something that is a challenge. Something that doesn't come easily. God is calling you to come out of the boat and step into something new. Of course, there may be fears. There may be uncertainty. You've never done it before. Your family, your whole village have never done what you want to do. It's possible that nobody within your family has tried to do what you are intending to do. But I have come this morning to challenge you to step out into a new season. Then you will see the faithfulness and the power of God to succeed. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Yeah. Something new. Branch out of your usual business. Maybe you have a regular income, regular salary. Now, step out and do something else to add to your regular income. Step out to do something new. For example, see here, we have always done prayer convocation, whatever we do. We know what happened at the convocation, whatever. Now, we are stepping out to take convocation to the UK. We've never done it before. It's a new thing, but we are moving. We don't know whether people will come or they won't come. We don't know. We've organized it. We booked a venue. We've done everything. Now, we are moving. Myself, Pastor Stanley, next week by this time, we are in the UK doing prayer convocation. But beginning from Thursday, it's a new thing. We have never done it before. But we are stepping out. It's a new season for us. From there, we'll come back after that week. And we are stepping out to the U.S. to do prayer convocation in New Jersey, in the U.S. And we are believing God for all the branches to congregate. It's something new for us. Everybody under the sound of my voice should step out and do something new. Challenge yourself. Break out. You will never see the faithfulness and the power of God or the inherent capabilities and abilities in you until you challenge yourself. Say amen. Until you challenge yourself. Otherwise, you sit behind the same desk, with the same boss, with the same people in your office, with the same pay. Same pay. And your wife is... I know a couple, I went to the country and a couple, they visit me every year. And this time, the couple came to visit me in my hotel. And I was asking the husband, so how is work, how is business? He said, oh, so, same. Then the wife, not with Munabis and all that. And the wife couldn't accept that status quo with the husband. That he doesn't want to challenge himself to do anything. It is his car, it is her car that was being driven by the husband. She is the one who bought the place where they are in. She's the one starting a new business. The woman is stepping out, but the husband is static. And if you are like that in my church here, you know, I have come to wake you up from that slumber. That you are stuck. No nothing. No movement. Same saying. Think. Challenge yourself. Move out. Step on the water. It is a new season. The water will be solid rock under your feet. But you will never know if you can walk on water until you come out of the boat. Step out of the boat and you will see that the water will be solid under your feet. Say hallelujah. So it is not hilarious, it is not humorous, it is not celebrating to be stuck to the same thing for 20 years. As I'm speaking to you now, we've got a venue in France. We are about to open a branch in France. We've got a venue in Germany. We are moving. We want to build 1,000 branches of CEM across Ghana and across the world. It's a challenge. It's a new thing for us. 1,000 churches. And we are doing it. I told the apostle, I am challenging you. Move out. Plant more branches in many countries. Even if Russia opens the door, go and plant a church there. If Ukraine opens the door, go and plant a church in Ukraine. Give me my 1,000 branches. Say amen. I said, I've got guys, I've got boys in my backyard. This is my backyard. I've got boys and girls ready to move to Amsterdam, Netherlands, to places, to pastor churches, UK and other places, to pastor churches. It's a challenge for us, but we are taking the challenge. Something must challenge you out of your stupor. Something must move you out of your comfort zone. See, I hear you, Pastor. Break away from the spirit of indifference. Come out of the spirit of fear. But the Lord will give you faith without borders. And you will walk upon that water. I know bankers who are doing banking and sowing at the same time. They are bankers. They are in the bank in the morning and they are sowing in the evening. Top bankers. Some people are working off it. They are still selling a chomo somewhere. And it's working. People are doing sobolo in their houses. I know a certain woman who said, top banker working in a top position. She still does Lamoji, Sobolo, Asana, Achomo, Nkati cake, Kube cake, Kaklo, and wraps it up. and selling and sending it to parties and things. During the weekday, she's at a party with African bar, doing achomo and sobolo, and you are stuck in the on the TV watching Juventus and Arsenal and Real Madrid. Come out of Real Madrid and make extra money and see supernatural occurrences occurring in your life. Do something new. Step out of your boat. Come out of your comfort zone. Challenge yourself to do something new. Multiple streams of income. Am I talking to somebody here? And you see, there is nobody who has done anything new who didn't have some percentage of fear. All of us doing ministry, we have a certain percentage of fear. Of the unknown. What if? What if? And your what if is always in the negative. But what if you also succeed? What if you also break through? Why don't you think about what if the Lord helps me? But you say, what if I fail? What if I put my money there? What if my investment goes down? People's investments have gone down, but they have resurrected from the ashes of defeat. They have come out. People have done investments that didn't go well. But they came back. There is always a comeback. And your comeback will be better than your setback. So this year, look, people have got their shops burnt and they we have recuperated. People have got their houses burnt and they built a new house. People have been sacked from jobs and they have gotten a new job. Some people came out, somebody came out of the banking cleanup and started selling kebab and things. The guy has so much succeeded after the bank cleanup. A bank wanted him. He said, no, he's happier where he is doing kebab, fried yam, sobolo, whatever. He goes every weekend, he's at a party. He has left the bank. He said he makes more money. And then he does private consultancy for people who want to manage their accounts and things in the evening and the weekends, you know. He's doing kebab. Goat kebab. Goat with the suya on it. And he does it hot. And he has 1, 2, 3, 4 burners all grilling machine, doing sprinkling things, you see, with an apron. I wish I had his name, they would have put him there. Because he has done a website, you can invite him for parties, for this, and people are booking him. He was a banker doing the banking cleanup. That was what he found himself doing. And that one has made him succeed more. They are calling him back to the bank. He said, no. He does private consultancy. He stepped out. And something new. Am I challenging somebody this morning? I have come to tell you, step out into a new season and you will see supernatural occurrence. Say, I hear you, my pastor. Let me show you a scripture, a very funny scripture in Genesis chapter 12. The story of Abraham. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And make, he said, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Abraham was in his father's house, very comfortable. His father was a pagan worshipper. There's paganism all over where Abraham lived. And God wanted to do something very powerful with Abraham. In fact, he was prepared to even change his name to Abraham. But he said, come out of your father's house. Say amen. Leave thy kindred. Leave leave your father's bedroom he has provided for you in his house. Leave the veranda and the parlor where you sit to receive fresh air. I will dip for better now. Papa fufu, men keni fufu, and the grease will score what? Ebunebunu with snails on it. I would dig every Tuesday with salmon and mushroom. I won't yaka. With disama, when you fufu, I say me aye kesi money. Won't you rent? Won't you electricity bill? Because you are in your father's house. And your father is a pagan worshipper. He worships idols. Are you there? James, where is you? James, come, let me ask you a question. You're a very smart guy, one of the smartest guys I ever know. Now, James, get in James a mic. Why, James, do you think that God wanted Abraham to leave his father's house before he blesses him? Why do you think that? Why couldn't God just bless him in his father's house?
Because he wanted him to be established on his own. So he had to separate him apart to get him established.
That's a very beautiful answer.
In agriculture, if you want a plant to be well established, for example, plantain, you take it from the mother plant, then you plant it somewhere else. That one to become established, get new suckers, and then bear more fruit.
I told you this guy is very smart. God could have blessed Abraham in his father's house, but he said, come out of your father's house. Leave the place. Because, Keto, if he doesn't leave the place, when he God blesses him, they will attribute the blessing to the pagan, to the idol. They will give the glory to the other. It is the father will say, it is my point of libation that has brought you this blessing. So he wanted him to separate himself. And I'm telling you, when Abraham was packing his goods and everything with his wife and everything, he was leaving, there was uncertainty. He wasn't too sure because he had no specific destination. He was stepping out into a new season. He's never left his father's house. And he was 75 years old. Read the next scripture. He was 75 years old. The next verse. Look at the next verse. Go. We have passed that stage already. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. At 75, he said, what am I going to do at 75? I am very, very old. When my father will die very soon, I will take over the place. My father will die very soon. I'm 75 years. What do I want to do? People say that. What do I want again in this world? There is more that you can do even at 75. Instead of dying a pauper and a pagan in your father's house. And some of us are so addicted to your hometown village. Grandfather built a house in 1936 and there are about 15 rooms and you have a room in your grandfather's house, but you know that your people are pagan worshippers. The Roman church, the poor libation, there is a leg by in front of that house. And even though, you see, Francis, you know, my grandfather You don't know whether he was a Christian or whatever. Because every foolish thing can happen in my grandfather's house. Pouring of libation, worshipping of idols, bring a big pot of palm wine, and they would drink it from morning to evening. The priest would come and join them and everything. And then on Sunday, they go and do Thanksgiving service. So we didn't even know where we belong. Thanksgiving service. They will cut the throat of sheep. They will put the blood in a certain bowl. They will do rituals with it. They will do so many things with it. And on Sunday, we all follow and go and genuflect in the church and have worship service. Because of that, my grandfather's household was never blessed. He was never blessed. Okay, too. I didn't see blessing in my grandfather's house and in my own father's house. Because it's the same thing. Point of libation, they will all come remove their clothes to their waist, and then they will carry this thing. We were there about 12, 13 years, myself and Pastor Stanley, and then we didn't know what they were doing. So they were, we can say, they said they'll be calling things, maybe calling spirits, they'll be calling whatever, and they'll be there, and everything, and then they will come and pour blood, come and pour things, whatever. But on Sunday, we will go to church. For God does not do futu futu 11. So when we became born again, Asamoah, we moved out of that system. Myself and Pastor Stanley, and my elder brother, we just moved out. We decided not to be part because we were going to church and we were hearing messages. Messages. So we decided, no, there is a curse in our father's house following us. Because all those who were born in my grandfather's house, his children, some traveled to Germany, some traveled abroad, some none were succeeding. None succeeded. All became, they had potential, they had this. When they came from abroad, they go and plug themselves into all the libations and all the rituals. They were in abroad, they were becoming poorer and poorer abroad. When people are building mansions and people are they were drinking in Ghana, drinking abroad. Some died as paupers, so poor that they couldn't bring their bodies back to Ghana to be buried. But I told myself, this nonsense must stop. And since we came out of our father's house, and since we came out of that form of worshipping, our lives have never been the same again. We have become global icons. Global. I have never taken my children anywhere near libations, rituals, all those nonsense. No, my children don't know. My children don't know even the village I come from. They know the name, but they have never stepped foot there. And I purpose that they will never step foot there. Because the nonsense hasn't stopped yet. The nonsense is still there. I have cousins, I have whatever, and you can see the difference between a cousin who is still stuck to the demonic altar and somebody who has found God. The difference is clear. So some of you, my people, you have to come out from your father's house. You have to come out of that room and step into a new season of blessing.
Reverend, are you trying to tell me that I should remove the old ancient landmarks?
Yes! If the old ancient landmark does not lead you to the cross, come out of it! Extricate yourself! Leave! And see what God will do with you. Because so long as you are in that house, so long as they are pouring libation, so long as they are performing rituals, so long as they are killing animal and drinking animal blood, so long as you are stepping into blood in that village, as a Christian, as an elder,
as a pastor, there is no way God is going to bless you for you to go and give the glory to a tree, a river, a god, a snake, a python. No, God is not going to bless you there. For you to give the glory to trees and rivers, you have to come out from your father's house. Myself and my twin brother, since we left, we have never returned there again for libations and everything. Are we poor? Do we look wretched? Have we failed? We are trying to manage our speaking engagements. We haven't stepped into London already, but London is calling. Reverend, we hear you are coming to London. We need you in our churches. We need you here. That's all. We are just coming to do prayer convocation and return back to our pulpit. Am I talking to somebody? You will succeed without your father's gods. You will succeed without the ritual. Some of you have taken your 13-year-old girl, 14-year-old girl to do, what is it called? Puberty rite, whatever rite, put aloe on the face, put things, put this, whatever, and then you are carrying your daughter, and then she's half naked, and she's there, because, and then she's swallowing 3 eggs. What nonsense! Because you are still in Christ, but you are still steeped in your father's traditions. And you are carrying your 40-year-old daughter to your grandmother. And your grandmother is using her rough hands to rub things on your daughter in the name of preparing her for marriage. And in the name of whatever. My children have never been, they haven't put a law, they have never wear anything, they haven't come, they haven't said, but they are married. So that myth is a deception. That if you don't bring, if you, they will send a message. Woman, we did 14, we did 13. One for number. Me and ye, amamre amanwa. Woman, o nye kunu ware. Onto me nye ba. Onto me nye. The one who is above is above all. Second Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Look at it again. What does it say? Say it with me. Let's read it together as a man's choir. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what? For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? You are the righteousness of Christ. Do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. I will not subscribe to any daughter of mine in this house to go and become a second, a third, and a fourth wife to some old man who has money. It's absolutely, read my lips, it's absolutely nonsense. And besides, that is not, it's also foolishness for you, a pretty girl. Instead of having your own husband, you are the third and the fourth wife. Because of what? Money. My father's house is very, very poor. And this man is the one who is the savior. Who is the savior of the house. So that he will help my mother. He will help my father. I have 6 brothers. They all must go to school. This man has promised to help them all to go to school. Please. You are the guy that doesn't go to church? Doesn't know your God? Doesn't know anything? So the central reason why you are going to become a fourth wife is because of money. You have lost your faith in God. And if you are in a courtship, as I speak, break the courtship. Break the relationship. Come out of it. Look at, let's read the scripture. Let's finish the scripture. Put it there. Put the scripture there, please. He said, and what communion has light with darkness? Let's go again. And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? Look at the next verse. And what agreement has temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, say wherefore. Let's read it together. Come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate. Say the Lord. This is New Testament. Come out from among them. Leave that house. Leave that festival. Some of you are so addicted to festival, but the festival is demonic. The festival ties your spiritual umbilical cord to the altar, to the altar. The festival ties your destiny to a satanic altar. And this year, you are stepping out into a new season without any strings attached to it. I'm preaching to my members. And I'm preaching based on scripture. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Keep the scripture there, please. And look at the next verse. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. But I'm telling you, I'm not changing my message. I'm not changing it at all. Because I say I see you with a new message in America. I see you go to America. When your umbilical cord is tied to a demonic altar, your success will be temporarily lived. You will miss heaven. Because no idol worshiper is going to make it to heaven. I don't care what you go and bow on Sunday. No idol worshiper is going to make it. Be in the kingdom and make mistakes and the Lord will forgive you. But step out of the kingdom of God. Reverend, before I joined the church, I was the general secretary and the, all the chiefs have, they have imposed their confidence in me to manage the affairs of the whatever, and I'm supposed to be planning this is the festivals, but even though I'm born again, you know, I owe it to them to organize the thing. And how are you organizing it? You are painting the shrines, you are buying beer and beef eater, you are ordering 20 pots of palm wine. Is that what you are managing? Sheep for slaughter, ritual that will be done. That is why what you are pretending over as general secretary, spokesperson. So you miss church for 3 weeks and you are in the village organizing things. You are in the wrong house. Come out from among them and be ye separated. And touch not the unclean. Resign as general secretary. Resign as general manager for that occultic demonic entity. Money is not everything. Your future, your eternal life, where you spend eternity, matters more than money. I didn't come here this morning for clapping, but if you want to clap, clap to the Lord. Because I am laying the axe to the root. And the day we preach it here at the all night, we conducted deliverance. Hey! It's unfortunate I can't do that deliverance service here. People who were steep in the occult, they have, as some of you are sitting here, you are wearing things under your waist. They have marked your body.
You have introduced concussions and things. There are certain things you practice in your house. You talk to the dead. You go to funerals. You are in the room with dead people. You are blowing powder, finding out. Spirit is talking through you. You are possessed. One of my aunties, she's always possessed by the spirit of the dead. One of my aunties, always possessed by the spirit of the dead. Anytime she hasn't appeared in the funeral, they are all worried. When she appears at the funeral, she appears there. This is my auntie. She appears there because they know that the dead will be talking through her. As I speak to you now, she's so sick. She can't take a step like this. That my auntie is so sick. The dead can't heal her. This my auntie is so sick that I will not be surprised that one day we come to church like this and we'll get a phone call that she has passed because she's so sick. We are helping to pay hospital bills. You see, because she used to come to church here. She used to come to church here. But weekends, she's at the village going to speak for the dead. And when she's popular, she will drink things, she drinks everything, and she'll become very popular. And people will be listening to what she, because if you owe the dead, you pay. If she can tell everything, all the secrets. It's a familiar spirit that is at work. It's a demonic familiar spirit. And after they have used her, they have rendered her paralyzed. Sick. She's one of the youngest of the aunties. And by her age, she should be walking around. Because her age mates are in this church. Her age mates are here. Praising God, dressing well, going around, doing their business. But she is paralyzed from head to toe. One day they called Stanley. He said, Stanley, we are seeing that you are giving wheelchairs to people. Can you send us one wheelchair? Because your auntie is crawling. She can't walk. And she's too heavy for people to carry. So we sent her a wheelchair. And I'm saying that. So after all the idol pouring of libation and all that, you have ended up in the wheelchair. Paralyzed. Can't talk. Reverend Steve, I am sick. But this, my auntie, she's an orator. She can't speak. Now her speech is impaired. Her age mates are here. Praise. There's an 89 year old. Where is she? She comes to second service. Yes, there's a woman who sits here. She's how many years? 89 years. She's jumping, dancing. This my auntie is nowhere near there. But the demons. So if you are in that kind of situation and you are enjoying the bliss of popularity, there's a timetable to it. There's a time bound to it. They have tied a bomb in your butt, waiting to explode. Come out from amongst them. Step into a new season. Do something new. Leave the old and trust God for the new. This is our year of supernatural occurrences. Who am I talking to? Leave! When Peter stepped out, and he was walking, then he looked on the left and looked on the right. The winds were boisterous. And he began to sink. But the Lord didn't make him sink. The Bible said, and the Lord reached out to him and caught him. And put him back on the water. It means that as you step into your new season, you may have challenges, you may have trials, you may have whatever. But you will be within the hour, within the minute, and you'll be placed back on the business track. And both he and Jesus went back to the ship. Is it there? And immediately, go there, I love the scripture. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So don't doubt God. He who has begun a good work, is faithful to complete it. Say amen. Find out whether you can see on the internet a picture of Peter walking on the water. Maybe there's a picture of that. Because this year, we are going to walk on water. We are going to do supernatural things. We are not going to depend upon the arm of the flesh to succeed. We are not going to be a third wife or a fourth wife because of money. Somebody from another religion comes around. Madam, it is an honor that I have met you. You people should be thankful to God because I am about to transform this family. I've got businesses at home and abroad. I've got, if I'm not mistaken, I've got about 17 cars. In fact, I've ordered my Land Rover to be sent to you for you to be using for a while. There you go. That is Peter sinking. The boat is right there. But look at Jesus. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For I will be with you always unto the end of time. Are you there? So don't let somebody come and shake his shoulders. I see that this house is too hot. And I will move you to some place and renovate this whole place and put air conditions and everything. You will never lack again. You are very lucky to meet me. You will never lack again in this house. And your daughter. Where is it? Come here. And your daughter. She's going to be a very happy woman. Oh, my sweetie pie. Then your mother. Your carnal mother. Who has no spirituality. Baby. I say you never brave here. When I was here, your savior, and he, You are selling the destiny of your daughter to become a fourth wife because of money. Your motives are wrong. And guess what? You will fail. Because you cannot sing the Lord's song in a strange land. You cannot be unequally yoked together. You cannot serve God and mammon. Am I in church? I've gone somewhere. Me, I came prepared, but that I will not look at faces of people. I came prepared that it won't smell like me. People won't like me, but I'm going to preach it anyway. I'm going to preach it anyway. Because there are some people here who are on the trajectory. You are on it. You are on the path to become a second wife, a third wife, a fourth wife. You are working with an unbelieving guy. You are working, dating a man who is already married with four children. And you are the one that they are courting, preparing to become a second wife. You are breaking a home. You are breaking a home and you are about to render some four children. You are going to set them in pain. That woman has labored with her husband for 22 years. And you, a small girl, have appeared in his life with your hips, with your heels, with your 92, with your beauty and your wig, snatching this man away from his legitimate family.
and your conscience is seared. In class school fees, no, a beka. Mammy, no better. Since all worry, papi. Papi, ya, no, I feel 22 years. Waba, uncle pair with size. Onyin chenwo by 38 years. 40 years. And I'll clear the truth. My brother best is I. That laughter is satanic laughter. It's a demonic, it's demons who are laughing through him. It's the demons are saying that of all your all night, of all your, you have come back to where you belong. You know when Satan gets you the way he loves. Of all your spiritual, you will come all night. I am canceling all those things. And as soon as you marry him, there will be no more all night. Meanwhile, you tell him that, everybody loves God. But when you marry, sound all night now. What I call every Friday, you know, as the man on the south have cancelled it. Anything of course, it's kind of wild. And I saw Ukwa rehearsals and also make him. And I saw we retreat now and also make him. That's satanic laughter. Because of money. You have lost your eternal life. Me say, from my mama away. Now the mother comes. Ah, mommy, ehiamu ana. Muye sika. Men si da mamu. Manfa air condition to be fear. Ma jibu bibi. Mwe tuya bibi. Mina mi tuya mobility bibi ya. Na me catch re me yere se. I don't want her into that on tafoda sorry no. I don't want her there. And I sign it all night na uko butu altar. So ma kongunu wako. I don't like my precious wife butu at the altar. It is money she's looking for and I have the money. And I sign it rehearse so two ten and I don't want this again. I want my wife beside me. What are you losing? What will profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? Yeah. You are on the verge of losing your soul. For what? For mammon. This is a new season. It's a new day. You are stepping out into something new. You are coming out of paganic worship. You have carried your wife to your grandfather's house. And you have raised your two children there. You don't want to go and pay rent. You don't want to pay electricity bill. When the bill comes, they share it in the house. And your own is small. That's what you want. Your own is small. They are sharing water bill. This, you know, is my grandfather's house. He built in 1936. And I'm the eldest of the family. I'm the one watching over them. You are bragging with it. You can't step out and buy a land and build a house for your family. A building that was built 1936. That the man has died and gone. His spirit is roving around them. That is why every day they are having dreams about the man. They are having dreams every day. Sometimes they hear somebody walking on the ceiling. Somebody walking on the ceiling. Then they go and fetch water and drink. Then they are pouring water in man to wake up. Because there is somebody walking on the ceiling. Then the house owner has come. And you are enjoying all this nonsense. There's noise in the ceiling. Meanwhile, it is not a man. It's a lizard that is trapped in the ceiling. There's a rat, a big rat. No renovation. So there's a big rat in the ceiling. They said the man has come to inspect the house. It's all lies. Then you are there. Oh, grandpa, 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 you are welcome. Grandpa, you are welcome. Obedi, obedi, otto, obedi, fufu, obedi, katibe. Meanwhile, it's a rat. Walking in between the ceiling. The ceiling and the roof. There's a space there. You have never been there for the past 45 years. And a big rat like this. With his children. They said the owner of the house has come. Therefore he needs food. He needs water. He needs drink. Quickly, they are going to carry schnapps. Quickly. And you, who is a Christian, you are there. Following all these rituals. Then they are calling the grandpa's name. They are calling the grandpa's name. And you are still in the house. Come out. Step out. And I'm not saying that cut them off. No. Send them money. Send them help. Because they are blood relation. Send them money. We send money to all our relatives. We send them money every day. But we are not there. We are not part of it. But they need the medical bills. We are sending them money every day. Today, after service, my cousins will be here. I need a laptop. We are helping. But we are not there. In the house. In that village. So that God can bless you. I hear you, Pastor. When Exodus chapter 3, the verse 7, and that's my last scripture. Exodus 3, the verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian. And to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Why didn't God just bless them in Egypt? But why does he want to take them out before blessing them? Why didn't God just bless the children of Israel in Egypt? But he said, bring them out. Because when God blesses them in Egypt, the Egyptians will come and suppress, oppress, take away all the blessing, and they will think that their gods have blessed the people of Israel. So he took them out that he may bring them in and bless them. Do I have a witness in this house? He took them out to bless them. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorite, unto the place nigh thereon, and the plain in the hills and in the valley and in the south and the seaside, the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Say amen. There is a land you must possess. You can never possess it until you come out of Egypt. You can never inherit it. You have dwelt too long. Too long doing the same thing. Day you are in church, the next day you are at the festival, the next day you are in church, you are going, whether you carry your family and everything, even your new wife who doesn't belong to your village, you have villagized her too. Added her to your rituals as a Christian. You have dwelt too long. The time to come out is now and this year and today and this season, so that God will receive it. God bless you. I love you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 2676 7655 +233 2676 7655 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com.